Why do you think high tickets disappear, and why do you think low ticket monthly is the way to go?
I think it just makes sense, man. Like I said, I got this service about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, that it was either I could pay like 12 grand up front. Well, that's what they wanted me to do, 12 grand up front. And it kind of slowed me down. I had to think about it. It's like, shit, it's a lot of risk. And I have the money. As a salesperson, a lot of times you think it's the money. You know, oh, they're probably broke. They don't have it. I have the money, but it's just risk. If I put all this money up front, it has to work. What if they don't deliver on their promises? I study, you know, motivation quite a bit and performance. And when you get paid all your money up front, subconsciously, you're just not as motivated. It's just something that happens subconsciously. So when they said, well, what if we just do it month to month? It was a no-brainer to me, you know?
Yeah.
No-brainer, jumped on it, happy client. Glad I gave it a try, but I probably maybe wouldn't have for 12 grand up front, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's not about always having the money, as you say. It's like the psychology of money as well, where it's like, well, like, does this make sense for me? Is this going to work? And then from the service provider's end, I love that point. I'd love to explore that a little bit more, where if you get all your money up front, you maybe lose a little bit of your hunger, maybe lose a little bit of your drive.
And that's another thing that's great on our side, right? Like, we got to earn their business every month. Every month. Mm. And there was a little post that I commented on yesterday about people. That's one thing I've been thinking about, because I've been studying all about resale. I've been studying John Paul DeGioia. Does that name sound familiar? He started Patron Tequila. That name sound familiar?
Okay, yeah. It's starting familiar, yeah.
Yeah. So biggest exit in the liquor industry, $3.2 billion. And I was watching an interview where he's like, we weren't in the selling business. We weren't selling it. We're in the reorder business. That's where we made our money, making sure our people reordered every single month, always. How do we do that? I believe school, it's the same thing. We're not in the sales business. We're in the reorder business. We got to get people to stay on here month after month after month.
Right.
Insurance companies have built $100 billion companies with that. It's the biggest metric that they follow. It's the reason why the tallest building in every major city is an insurance company. People pay forever. Average client pays for 8 years. They have that mastered. So what's great, that's my niche. And so I'm studying that quite a bit, because that's where the money's made. The upfront money, great. Yes, we can celebrate it. But long-term wealth is created with people reordering every month. And we got to keep earning their business every single month, which I like that. Keeps me on my toes, you know?
Yeah. That hunger is an exciting energy to be operating with. And I, you know, in the SaaS world, they talk about retention being growth.
Yeah.
I saw you put a comment in the community yesterday where you talked about the insurance industry. You talked about persistency. I'd never heard that term before. Could you unpack that a wee bit?
Yeah, that's what they call it. They call it persistency. You know, they have metrics on it. Yes, you get awards for being top guy, you know, that's done on new business. But if your persistency falls under a certain amount, you stop getting advanced commissions, because the insurance company will advance you some commissions, maybe 5 months worth or 9 months worth, because they know that your people are going to stay on for years, for 8 years. But if your persistency, and that's directly tied to the quality of the business, isn't at a certain place, you don't get your bonuses, you stop getting advanced commissions, which then is very hard to even make a living as an insurance guy, where basically it's like the insurance company giving you credit. They don't give you that anymore. And so persistency really starts, they measure it for the first 12 months. It's like the first initial. So minimum, your people have to stay on the books, they call it, for 12 months. So I'm looking at that here. Minimum, I need my school community to stay on the books for 12 months, minimum. And then at that point, we actually make a little bit more money than we were, because we charge $9,800 for our high ticket. They end up paying about 12 grand if they stay on, which is fine. I think it works for everybody, but that's the minimum. And then they go to 2 year, 3 year, and give really big bonuses on that. Cause again, that's where the money's made, man. It's all profit after that, you know?
Yeah. And it's super interesting because, as you say, it's a win-win for everybody. The customer gets to experience your thing at a low risk, at a low price. Mm-hmm. But if you deliver on the promise that you make them, then you actually also win in the long term, particularly as your persistency goes from 1 year to 2 years to 3 years to, you know, upwards of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So how are you planning on increasing that on your school?
The persistency?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The main thing that we're focused on right now, and I'm just getting into it, right? So I'm learning. I'm actually going to post something because it's so awesome to see these younger people, dude. I'm excited about the future. They're crushing it. I mean, I was nowhere near where they are at that age, you know? So I'm very excited about the future. One of the main things that we're doing right now, we're doing two things. Number one is we're bringing in people that are the very top at the industry. So we have the number one IUL. That's the most popular type of life insurance right now that has a lot of tax benefits for retirement and that sort of thing. The number one writer of it, who did 48 million last year. This is him, just him. He's the best in the world, is a client and now a partner. So we're doing our first training together April 8th, which is kind of like where the first people started. So my thinking is, you know, even just listening to this training from this guy that does 48 million, that's worth $1,000, which is what my monthly sure. recurring is. So having a little carrot there where even if I completely mess up because, you know, I believe we're the best at what we do, but we're nowhere near perfect. So we make mistakes like everybody else. And if something happens where the client doesn't get results in those first 30 days, to have something of that big value looking forward to. And so we're going to be doing that. He's the first one. I have a couple other guys lined up as well that I've been working with through the years. And we're also going to be adding a client success manager, CSM. We don't have that now. Somebody to give people a little bit of one-on-one attention. And we're going to do that again strategically in between the second and third weekend.
Right.
You know, first week or two, people are excited. Oh my gosh, this is the best thing. I'm going to be your best customer ever. I'm going to make millions of dollars. And then after a week or two, the reality sets in. Oh, shit, I got to work. You know, it's kind of like people going to the gym the first month of the year with their resolution. By February, the gym is empty. Kind of sad, but that's the reality of it. So we see something similar when people enter a program. They're excited. They're ready to go. About 2 weeks in, reality setting in. Oh, shit, I got to do all this work. What about this? What about that? And so right at that moment to say, hey, guess what? We're not telling them beforehand. It's like a surprise. We're going to give you a one-on-one coach. Would that be helpful to you? Mm-hmm. And we expect people to be, holy shit, that's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Right in that moment to keep them accountable, keep them moving forward. And keep them in the game, man.
It's really interesting. Like, I haven't heard anyone talk about managing the energy and excitement on a monthly timetable. And then in the loose way, connecting that to the reoccurring monthly payment that's happening. Because as you say, you're looking to win business every single month.
Yeah.
And so if you can add value and kind of give a massive uplift of energy and excitement towards the end of every single month, then that's got to help your retention. And the other thing I love in what you said there is that interview with that really, really big name in your niche that you're doing.
Yeah.
Once you've done that, that will live inside your school community. So you've increased the value of the asset. So anybody that joins after that, they're going to get access to that interview. And you imagine if you stack them up, it's kind of like a podcast. You know, do like 30 of them behind the paywall. It's like an unbelievable welcome present for anybody who joins from that point on. It's really cool. And that's what I like about school is it's that every month you do it, the asset increases and gets more valuable and more powerful. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you're using AI to book appointments.
Talk to me about that. How do you know that?
We do research.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're very basic in our technology. I had a friend who I met through Sam Ovid's mastermind back in the day, 8 years ago, man, Josh Harris, and was doing some work with some AI about almost 4 years ago, reached out to me. He's like, dude, this is going to make you rich. once in a lifetime opportunity. And we laughed. He's a friend. And, you know, I was like, dude, I get like three of those every day. lifetime opportunities. Right. But he said something. He's like, give me your shittiest leads. And I had just been working with Jay Abraham, who really made me feel the pain of what he calls sunk cost, where, you know, 99% of the leads we're getting, we weren't selling, right? About 1% conversion on the leads that are coming in. And he's like, dude, but you keep putting more money into marketing for people that aren't buying. It's a sunk cost. It's 100% profit sitting right there. And right in that moment, I believe in synchronicity and you know, being in the right place at the right time. I haven't done a podcast or anything in several years. I've said no to everything. A couple days ago, I'm watching Pete Vargas talking about being on stages, other people's stages. I'm part of Cole Gordon's mastermind. He spoke at the last event and he's like, podcasts are great. And like the next day he reached out to me. I was like, synchronicity. All right, let's do it.
I love that.
Yeah, let's do it. And right at that time, you know, Jay's like, dude, you have all this sunk cost. Josh says, give me your shittiest leads. I was like, okay. I was just talking to Jay Abraham about it. Here, they're 5 years old. He's like, okay. And put them into the machine. And within seconds, they were engaged again. We booked an appointment within 30 minutes, sold it the next day, made $5,800. That was full payment on a lead I generated 5 years ago that I had paid for 5 years ago. So I thought, holy shit, this is powerful. I signed a contract with them, signed an exclusivity because it was like, you know, my kids are like, they love like villains. They're 6 years old, 11, 12. And if this weapon gets into the hands of the wrong people, the earth is dead. That's what I thought, man. If this weapon gets into the hands of like the competitors, the wrong people, where this could be a game changer. So, started going all in on it, man. It's just, we send out a lot of text messages using AI. We use it very simply. And Josh all the time is like, dude, you're using like less than 5% of what the AI can do. I was like, bro, I'm like an insurance dude. I'm not a techie.
You're like, bro, we're using 5% of our brain. And so far we're doing pretty good. Yeah, so
yeah, exactly. You know, so we just use it to basically the way we use email is the way we use it. Email deliverability nowadays for us is pretty bad, and it seems like it's a moving target always. People get that text message from the AI every time in here. And in seconds, we have people responding. Seconds.
Right.
I'm all about, I like instant gratification is my natural default. You know, as I get older, I look for delayed gratification, but in seconds, dude. And so that's what we're doing. We've generated so many leads through the years. We're just sending messages with an offer, with an email, call to action. Book a time with our guys and that's it. So we're not doing much conversation with it. I believe anytime I interact with an AI and I end up frustrated, you know, like with the bank or the airlines or something.
Yeah, like, I automatically am just typing like talk to human.
Yes.
Like as soon as I log on, it's like human.
I always end up frustrated. So I don't want to frustrate my customers. So I don't think it's good enough for that yet from what I've seen. It's coming, I'm sure. But right now, I can get on the top of your phone with my undeniable, irresistible offer and in seconds have you book an appointment with me. That's the way that we're using it right now.
Give me your shittiest leads. It's got to be one of the greatest one-liner offers I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it is, right? And the timing again was just perfect. I was like, perfect. How many do you want? I got a lot of shitty leads.
It is interesting because, you know, we do all this work to get leads and to build all these relationships and they lie dormant as well, you know, and kind of this is a loose connection, but what you were talking about hopping on podcasts and other people's stages, you know, content as an asset is quite interesting as well to re-engage people who maybe have fallen off the path, haven't heard from you for a while. And like even this episode here will go out and, you know, whoever listens to it, if you share it anywhere, there'll be a lot of people come crawling out of the woodworks where it's like, oh, I had no idea that you were using AI to do this. Like, I'm really interested. I kind of find out more. So it is interesting how so much of the value that we accrue over the years, we don't actually utilize. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Tell me about your community. What actually is it and what are you guys doing?
So my community, Predictable Premium, is bunch of insurance guys and gals, you know. I started in the industry when I was 20 years old, like a lot of the guys that you've talked to, a lot of the guys that Kirby is interviewing. Went to school just because I was expected to, you know, everybody was going, a lot of kind of social pressure to go. I'm the oldest of three. Went my first semester. I didn't want to go, dude. It was, I got put on academic probation. My grades were so bad. And then I got kicked out. Like I didn't have the courage to do what these guys did and just walk away after a few months saying, this isn't for me. I kind of passively quit by letting them kick me out, you know? And what can you do with no degree, no anything? Okay. Sales. Anybody will take you in sales. Insurance. Anybody will take you. They'll just hire anybody. But 92% of agents are out in the first year. 92% fail out, starve out, get fired. At 20 years old, I started in that industry and did pretty well. I've always been just very coachable, you know? I've always naturally gravitated towards what are the big people doing? The people that have what I want, what are they doing? And just copy them. I actually got in trouble in school. In school, it's called cheating. It's not allowed. But in the real world, it is allowed.
It's awesome. Called entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's called entrepreneurship. It's called pay to play. It's called masterminds. That's why I joined Sam's mastermind 8 years ago, whenever that was. I knew he was the best course creator in the world. I wanted to get as close to Sam as I possibly could because he's the best. Success leaves clues. And so that's what I did. But you can't do that in school, man. You get in trouble. So so that's how it started, man. Ignorance on fire is what I was called. I just did it. I was money hungry. I'm the oldest of three. And it's a niche that's very, very important to me. My dad passed away when I was 9 years old. We lost everything, you know, moved in with grandparents. If it wasn't for my grandparents, we'd be homeless. You know, we never went hungry, but we had like welfare and food stamps and free lunches at school and hand-me-down clothing. And, you know, and I remember just every day, dude, just can't afford it. Can't afford it. Can't afford it. Can't afford it. And all I wanted to do was make money. I didn't want to fucking hear that ever again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure my kids never heard that from me. And so I just went to work, man. Went to work and saw the opportunity. And I did well with it. I did well with it. By the end of my career in the field, I was the company I was with had 12,000 agents, salespeople, basically. I was number one out of 12,000. And nice. People start asking, kind of similar like this, like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I would just tell people, I was just like impressed. I was flattered that people wanted to know what I was doing. Nobody had ever wanted to know what I was doing. And so I just started telling them. Some people call that coaching. I was coaching for free, right? And I ended up loving it. People coming with their results. Hey, man, look, I tried this that you shared with me. It worked. I loved it. And I was doing it for free. And so now fast forward, people always like, would you do what you do for free? I can say, yes, I would. I did at the beginning. And then people started saying, we would pay for this. Can we pay you? Really? You pay for this? Kind of like Hormozi talks about, give them for free till they start asking to pay you kind of thing, right? Yeah. And that's how it happened. And so I know how important these products are because I experienced the horror of losing the closest person ever, whether it's your dad or your husband or your wife. And now being hit with that burden would have made life quite a bit easier if it wasn't for that. So I have a very powerful story when it comes to that. I believe that's why I thrived, you know, in that industry. And so I'm all about helping these guys that are out there. The odds are against them. And that's what we do in the community. Now, fast forward, you know, had been doing this online now for 8 or 9 years and, we have some great guys, like the guy I was just mentioning. He's number one out there. I mean, the guy is doing more revenue than, you know, like the mastermind I belong to now. They did about 40 million last year. They got 200 employees. This guy did 48 with no employees. He got two little part-time assistants. That's it. It's incredible. And so every day we're innovating, we're testing stuff. And, started with like direct mail back in the day. And now we're using AI and, so that's what we do. We equip them with everything that they need today. Not only like the AI part that we're talking about, yes, but another thing that I noticed is they send you on these trips every year for the top producers. It was always the same people. And you start hanging out with successful people, the traits become very obvious. You see patterns, right? These guys work on themselves. Personal development is very important. Mindset's very important. They read, right? They study. They do workshops. They buy courses. And so, we get into a lot of the psychology. I have a partner who's a performance psychologist. We have another school group, Limitless for Men. It's all about performance. He's the opposite of me. He went to the number one performance psychology school in the country and graduated. It's got all kinds of letters by his name. I got no letters by my name. And then he went to work with the Olympic team in Boulder, Colorado, the best of the best that the government houses to work on the most important part to win Olympic gold. Worked with the NFL, worked with Navy SEALs in the military. And so the best of the best. And now we're using that information to optimize men because it's all connected, you know?
Mm. I love your personal connection to the insurance industry. And I think it's something that a lot of us take for granted. You know, like I have insurance and I don't really think about it, but it's just you making it explicit like that, where it's like insurance literally allows you to live your life and minimize risk, you know, to a certain degree. And it protects my family and it protects my kids. And how important do you think it is to have like a very strong emotional connection with your niche for the long run?
Dude, I think it's super strong. Like anybody else, I wanted to quit thousands of times. Can't even count them, right? Every year, I want to quit like 50 times a year.
Yep.
And so that's something that, you know, I see a lot of new people getting into this entrepreneurship game in school, which is awesome. People need to know that, you know, you're not weird if you feel like quitting. You're not weird if you're waking up and you don't feel like fucking doing the work. I go through that all the time where I feel like quitting. And I have to ask, like, okay, before I quit, remember why I started, right? Like, we're doing good here on the big, big scale. We're contributing. We're giving back. And that gets me back in the game and gives me the power to keep going. I think that's super important, having an emotional connection. I mean, that's how the best companies are created, right? We're just solving a problem. Mm. It's usually a problem we had. That's how school started. I was talking to Jesse not that long ago and, you know, we're talking, but he's like, yeah, dude, we were looking for some mastermind thing from a few years back. We had Facebook groups back in. We couldn't find it. It was a mess. You know, we got all frustrated. There should be something better. Here it is. There's something better, you know? Yeah. So it's super important.
Why do you think school is the future? Like, you obviously have hopped on, you're investing a lot into it, a lot of your time, you're building a significant part of your business on it. Why? Like, what gives you the confidence that this is the right move for you?
There's several answers, man. Like, number one, Sam, I know the kind of guy that he is. You know, I was in this mastermind for like 8 years, meeting with him in New York in his office, you know, a couple times a year, and going to dinner with him, going to the Bahamas with him. I know he's a man of character and I know how hard he works. Like, I know how hard he works. That alone, I should confess, I invested a little bit in school right at the very beginning and I didn't even read the contract.
Sure.
Whatever it was, safe note, I think, whatever it is, don't even know. I trust Sam. So, done. Okay. I didn't even read it. and I have attorneys reach out to me, I'm sure. So that's one. And then from there, several things. Number one, what I experienced recently, me personally, having the money to pay in full for a year, that was hard for me to do. It was so easy, a no-brainer for me to go to month, no-brainer. Mm. So that's the way I want people to do business with me. I'd be kind of a hypocrite if I just stay and no, you got to pay me up front, man. So that's another reason. The other is community. Community is so important. We're social animals. We need community. We need relationships. We need deep, meaningful connection to thrive, to be happy, to be fulfilled. And the older I get, the more important that is. And then on top of that, I got data. I also got data. We surveyed people and it hurts my ego a little bit. A lot of people don't give a shit about the course. They care about the community. They want the community. That's what they want. I had my wife start a school group. She has a school group as well. She has a little survey, little question at the beginning. Everybody says community, community, community for her. And so, dude, I think everything goes back and forth. We're going back to our roots, I believe. We should be living in tribes, small communities. Everybody knows each other, guide each other's back. We help each other. We want tribes. We have it in there. We all know that. Some of it have it deeper in there than others, but we need tribes. And this is the next digital tribe. I mean, I got so many reasons. That's a huge reason. School system for me is broken. Doesn't work for me. Didn't work for me. Right. We got our kids out of school right away. They've been homeschooled for most of their lives with the way we want them to be schooled, with what we think is important. Same thing. I think things are going back to like apprenticeship, another thing that's going back. I'd much rather learn from you, man, one-on-one. Hey, you have what I want. You're getting the results I want. Let me learn from you. Let me come work with you for free and just learn. I think that's the best way to learn. So it has all these things put together. And that's really, really cool.
It's awesome, dude. Alberto, final question. I've loved your humility. And when you talk about, you know, the younger guys on school and their energy and their ideas and their excitement and how they've got so much to teach you, I think that's an awesome perspective. So if you were to go back and give yourself advice, say in your 20s, and you had the opportunity like school right in front of you, like what sort of, I'll say advice. Yeah. What advice would you give to like a 20-year-old who has this opportunity right in front of them? And maybe a few pointers of how they could make the most out of it.
Yeah. I got a few things coming too. Number one is, execute, man. You just got to go. A lot of people are getting ready to get ready. I almost got my community ready to start putting people in there. I almost got my course ready. Just go, man. The best education is the market, what the market tells you, the feedback. That's the very best. We can think of it 100 times in our head. I'm pretty good at what I do in my industry. I'm surprised all the time. I got what I think my community wants, and then I survey them, I ask them, and it's something completely different. Always. So just go, man. Just execute. That's one. That's something that I've always been a guy like, go and then ask questions later. So I'm pretty good at that. The one I'm not good at, that I'm just now at 49 years old starting to realize how important it is relationships, which gets back to the community. I was young and dumb and ignorant and a little cocky. And I would tell people, like in business, you know, even in my business, like, I don't need friends. I got enough friends. I want clients. I just need clients. And today I was like, fuck, that was stupid. Relationships are so important. Today, through these masterminds that I've belonged to, I have a Rolodex of people that I talk to. We reach out to each other. Hey, man, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? These are all the kind of guys that, as an insurance guy, would have been my dream client, guys making millions of dollars a year that everybody wants to get in front of and sell them investment insurance. And, you know, I can get an answer in 5 minutes by text if I have a question. Right. Relationships. If I would have started fostering that in my 20s, bro, you know, who knows where I'd be. So that's my one thing I wish I would have done, because I just started getting good at that about 8 years ago, which sounds like a lot for maybe a lot of people listening, but 41. I was 41. So if you can do it at 20 instead of 41, dude, by the time you're my age, yeah, take relationships are so important. And now for things that we want done, you can cold call, you can message, you can use AI, or you can call your buddy that answers you back in 5 minutes and get in the door, no problem.
Awesome. Alberto, genuinely, this has been unbelievably value. I feel like the value per minute here has been off the charts. So really, really appreciate your time. And thanks for sharing everything you did with us today.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Thank you for having me.